Welcome to Grafted, Jewish Roots of Christianity. I am your host, Stephanie Pavlantos. Today I have Misty Harbor, and thank you, Misty, for being here. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me.
Misty is a licensed minister, a teacher, and as a teacher, her focus is on character. She used to be the CFO of the Rooted Cafe, which has now gone from a website to YouTube. So you can actually look up Rooted Cafe on YouTube and find over 800 hours of teaching. So we were having fun talking about accents. She's from Texas, born and raised, and I'm from Northern Ohio, even though I don't sound like I'm from Northern Ohio. So we had a fun conversation off the air about our accents. So thank you, though. I appreciate you being here, and I look forward to talking scripture with you.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me. I'm excited to be here, and I love the conversation that we get to have. So
why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself? Because I just gave a really brief overview.
Okay. I have one adult son, and he lives in Colorado, and I work from home. Really an amazing story of how God worked that out for me. Mm. Totally amazing. And I'm really thankful for that. I recently moved from the panhandle of Texas down to South Texas to be with the people I choose to be my family.
Okay.
And it was probably the best decision I've made for myself in a very long time. Mm. So
good.
I have loved being here and getting to spend time with my friend and her kids and their kids, and mm-hmm. really God has used them all to show me so many things and mm-hmm. to bring that balm of Gilead to my heart in the places where I've needed it. Mm-hmm. And so I've been really loving it, really loving it. So I have not really found a congregation to plug into here yet. Still working on that, figuring it out. So we just kind of do what we can do. And I do a lot of worshiping at home in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah, it's what we do, right?
Yes. So I know that you had mentioned you've done many retreats, though, right? And conferences and other things like that. Have you had opportunities to speak at conferences and do some teaching?
Yes. So when we were doing the Rooted Cafe, we did some online ones. Mm-hmm. I spoke at two or three of those. Don't remember how many. Mm-hmm. And I've also spoken at Women of Merit.
Okay.
In Oklahoma City.
Okay.
That was, I can actually give you a link for that. And I was so sick. Oh my goodness. That was quite a challenge. Mm. I was very, very sick during that, but I was thankful for the opportunity and able to give a large part of my testimony that was challenging,
mm-hmm.
but it was really good. It was really enjoyable.
Well, that's good. And I should add, because I was kind of remiss not to say this, but Misty and I lead the portion the second Friday of every month. So we do a Torah portion on a Facebook page called The Bridge. And so we had started doing that probably back in November, when we first started.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so we do these second Friday. And so that's how I met Misty. So we have a great time teaching together.
Yes.
And
we talked together cold the first time.
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely cold. It was like, we get on and it's like, hi,
hey.
You don't know me, I don't know you, but we're going to teach together. So I guess this is good. But I felt like we hit it off right away, and our styles kind of were very similar. So we just kind of meshed, and it seemed like it was just a natural fit for me.
Yeah.
It was.
I felt that way too. Felt like it was just us talking to mm-hmm. each other, and nobody else was there.
Yeah, even though there were like almost 50 people on the call.
Yeah.
So yeah, we don't do it on Zoom anymore. Now they do Facebook Live. So you and I just now we are kind of just talking to ourselves. But
yeah.
But yeah, so So that took a little break. And so this will actually be the first Friday of the new year that you and I will be on together, because there were some changes. And like we said, the Rooted Cafe went from a website ministry and a Facebook group to called The Bridge. And it's simply just The Bridge now on Facebook. So,
yes.
But yeah, and you can find that.
On that YouTube channel, if you go looking for The Rooted Cafe, the cafe is spelled with a K.
Yes, that's right.
It's a long story to explain, but that it's spelled with a K.
I know. I've had different people from The Rooted Cafe. I had Mary Amon and, of course, Charlie Brown and other people. But yeah, so I always have to say that's with a K. So
with
they
K.
Probably know by now if they've listened to me any amount of times. So you had a verse today you kind of wanted to focus our talk on, because
yes.
It's a verse that meant a lot to you. And so why don't we just dive in?
All right. We're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, and I'm going to read from the ESV. And it says, "You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts."
Such a good verse.
Oh, there's so much in there.
And many of people who are listening probably think, what? It's like, I don't think I've ever read this verse before in my life, but it's there. And we're going to talk about
there.
It.
It's there. One of the things I've always loved that verse, and it's always been one that I draw on, and because of the character, because I've always believed that it's so important that we represent who Jesus is well. Mm-hmm. And if we are not, let me back up a step. This thought just came to my mind. If we're being read by men, and they're reading a horror story, they're not going to think Jesus is very good.
Yes, good point.
So we should be representing him in the best way that we can. I'm not saying we have to be perfect, but to be his representative, we also can't be judgmental. We can't be critical in the sense that we are distracting others from him, from his ways, from what he has asked us to do.
Right.
I was just listening to Grant Luton today talk about the story of a rabbi who was in the Roman quarter, and this soldier calls out to him and says, "Who are you and why are you here?" And he said, "Well, how much do they pay you to ask those two questions?" And he said, "You know, one denarii or whatever per day." And he goes, "Well, if I paid you two every day, would you come to my house and every day wake me up and ask me those two questions?"
Wow.
Yes. That's, I was like, oh, wow. Who are you? Why are you here? You know?
Oh, yeah. Good questions.
Right.
Very good questions. Because a lot of us can't answer either one of those.
Very true. Very true. I believe our responsibility is, as a whole, not in, as an individual, but as a whole, is to bring his kingdom here.
Right.
To express who he is, to be examples of that love and that calling and that directive of helping others understand that he's real. And, you know, that's getting, I don't know about you, but to me, it's getting more and more difficult all the time for people to even desire his kingdom at all.
Yeah. Right. And it's very, because like we were discussing a little earlier, there's so much that's spiritual. The Old Testament is very physical. Everything that was made, everything that was done, was to reflect either Yeshua or the heaven. And, you know, we can kind of unpack that maybe a little more, but it was a reflection. It was the copy. And like we hear that the copy and shadow
type and
phrase.
Shadow, yeah.
Yeah, copy, type, shadow. We hear that phrase a lot in scripture. Well, we hear it, but we read it a lot. And that is because what was physical was representing. And just like, you know, I don't want to get ahead of you, but this verse kind of relates to that. So I won't pick out something until we get to it. But that verse, these two verses reflect that. So
yes.
What was, you know, think about it. What was written on stone and now written on your heart, those go back to what was physical and now what is spiritual.
Yes.
And so the kingdom of heaven will be a very, very real place that we will see, hear, touch, feel. We will use all of our senses to experience. But right now, it's a very spiritual place that we're still a part of, no less.
Yes.
It's just that now we kind of experience it spiritually instead of physically.
Yes.
But one day we'll experience it physically.
Well, and as Westerners, sometimes I think it's a little harder for us. One of the books that I read when I was studying for my minister's license was about a man who ministered a lot in Africa. Mm-hmm. And he said, I don't know, this just stuck out very distinctly to me, was he said, when I'm in Africa, he said, I don't have any trouble convincing these people of who the Holy Spirit is or what he does, what the Holy Spirit's function is. He said, the reason I don't is because they live in the spiritual. That is, they do voodoo and other things, but they live in the spiritual. And so they are seeing that and believe in it constantly. And as Westerners, right, we tend to intellectualize things so much, mm-hmm, that we fail to recognize the spiritual in a lot of ways.
I totally agree. Because I've heard it very similarly said that even in spiritual warfare, actually understanding evil, true evil, as we as Westerners don't get it. But you go somewhere where there are witch doctors, where there are curses and incantations, they understand evil. They understand spiritual warfare.
Yes.
You know, they see it happening before their eyes. And we're just so naive and
intellectually challenged.
Well, we think more with our heads, right?
Yeah.
Than
yeah,
our hearts. And
and with our spirit, you know, mm-hmm, there have been times when I have literally spoken to my own spirit man, rise up, because I needed to be in a place that was spiritual and not in the natural and not dealing with the situation on that level, because mm-hmm, it definitely wasn't going to improve if I stayed there.
right. Yeah. Sometimes we need to talk ourselves off the cliff, so to speak.
Yes.
It's like, no, don't go there. Just
yes,
keep your mouth shut, or, you know, just ignore this. We just move on. Keep walking. Keep scrolling, right? Keep scrolling.
Yes.
Don't stop and address that.
It's not your weed to pull.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Daily, I have to deal with that. Because probably
sure,
like you, I mean, scripture is very... I love it. And it doesn't even seem sufficient to say it that way, but it's very precious to me. And when I see or hear or read somebody taking things out of context and even demonizing, I think it's very important that we don't demonize. If you prefer a specific translation, you don't have to demonize all the others. If you prefer a certain denomination, a certain way of doing something, we don't have to demonize everyone else. You know, we don't have to demonize. If you're going to a congregation and you don't call it a church, don't demonize the church. You know, we have to really, we're not going to win anybody over doing that. We're not going to win people to Yeshua, Jesus. We're not going to win them by demonizing what they're doing and saying and learning. And I've had to unfollow people on Facebook because I thought at first they'd be, oh, this is kind of cool, I like what they're involved in and stuff. And then it's like, no, I just, you know, kind of got a face slapping for saying something. And then it's like, okay, I don't really need that, you know?
Right.
It's like, I'd just rather unfollow you. So, so yeah, I mean, sometimes we just have to do it. So
yep.
It's a shame though, because if we don't do things in love, we really are nothing. Like the word says, we're nothing but a clanging gong without love.
Exactly. I don't know. Part of it I wonder is how much of it has come for those people who are trying to walk in a Torah observant, a Torah pursuant perspective. How much of that attitude is coming from their own inability to reconcile all the experiences that they had with the church and not understanding the truth that they still experienced in the church, even though there were some things that might have been a little bit off, there was still truth there. And we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But because I think when we do, that's when we are causing problems. I say this all the time. If you have the word only, you're going to dry up. If you have the spirit only, you're going to blow up. But if you put them together, you're going to grow up.
That's really good. I love that.
So you have that. You have to have them together.
You do.
You can't just this intellectualizing the word and knowing just the word only is going to make you dry and critical. Yes. And all of those things.
Right. Because even discernment, you know, when somebody has discernment, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. But there's always a downside to that gift if we're not using it in love. And the downside to discernment is judgment and criticalness. Mm-hmm. So we have to be careful to use our gifts in love and not in the opposite direction to tear someone down. You know, if I sense something about a person, or, you know, because I mean, that used to blow my husband's mind. I would be able to just basically early on in our marriage, and it's not that it's gone away. It's just, it's just more natural to me now. I get the gifting, but you know, just really sensing the Holy Spirit in someone. And I would tell him, you know, that kind of thing. And he would be like, I don't know what you're sensing. I don't sense anything. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. But I didn't even understand it until a pastor just explained it to me that, you know, well, it's a different gifting, you know, whatever. But I found myself then like just even starting to become critical in that, oh, well, you say this, but this is what, you know, I'm sensing. And yes. So I had to learn that the hard way, and I don't know that I've got it down, but I try, you know, and I guess that's where we're going. And something else you said that I just wanted to kind of expound on is that if you think of it as a pendulum, right? If we get like some of us, when we get hurt in the church, we'll swing the other way. And we'll swing so far that we want nothing to do with the church because maybe there was someone who was rude, someone that wasn't even a believer judging us or making fun or just hurt us. And then we swing out this way and we're like, we hate all things church. We hate all things Christian. We hate all things religious. And then there are those who might swing this way, like, okay, I was taught this, but now I've learned this. So now I'm swinging this way. I still hate everything church. I still hate everything Christian because I have learned better. So we can swing different directions, and that's not really where the Lord is. He's actually kind of, as I put it, in the middle, in the balanced middle place of all of that. And when we stay in the middle with Him, then we're not going to swing way out and be extreme. And it's the same way, you know, if we use the Word of God over here, and the spirits over here, they have to come together because if they don't, we use them incorrectly on either end of that extreme. So I like what you said, though. You have to repeat that.
If you have the word only, you dry up. If you have the spirit only, you blow up. But if you put them together, you grow up.
That's perfect.
You know, I had a pastor, my first pastor that I spent 18 years with, who he taught me balance. Mm. It was very much about finding the balance in things. And I believe that that's one of the reasons why I was able to come into a different understanding of everything that I'd been taught, is simply because I was given that permission, if you will, to look for the balance. And I'm really thankful for that. He's also the one who always said, I would much rather err on the side of love and let them think me a fool than to judge someone inappropriately. Mm. And that's, I thought, I would like to be there one day, but I'm not.
It's hard, isn't it?
It is. It's very hard.
I don't know why, but I guess it's just our flesh.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We need to make more spiritual.
Holy or at Spirit. Least
not more spiritual, because that goes all over the place. But
right.
We need to be more of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit.
Yes. So, yes.
Which, you know, we all fall short. And that's, you know, and not that we don't keep trying, right?
I mean, right.
We keep trying to get back on the right path, and we keep trying to grow in our relationship with Yeshua. But we don't stop. And when we stop, then there's no progress. That we just kind of end up where we are, you know.
Yes.
But the Lord's faithful, and he will keep, you know, I think we forget that he is the one who perfects us. We can't perfect ourselves.
Right.
He's the perfecter, and we have to just, our job is to surrender.
Yes. So. Well, and it goes back to the scripture where, you know, it's said basically, you know, tablets of stone are now on the fleshy heart. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of, it all goes back to the whole reason that I even got stuck, if I can use that terminology, on this scripture was I heard someone teaching, and she said, don't be hysterical, be historical. Mm. And so what I heard in that was this scripture actually was the first thing that came to my mind, because I thought, be his Torah-cal. In other words, I am the word that people see. Mm-hmm. I am the instructions lived out that people see. And it's up to me to make sure that I'm representing it well, which also goes back to, you know, when as part of the Ten Commandments, as we learned them, that are actually the 10 words, one of the things that it says is not to take the name of the Lord in vain. And a lot of times we have been taught and told it's curses. I mean, that we are not supposed to curse. You're not supposed to say his name in vain. Mm-hmm. But even seeing this scripture and learning how I'm walking it out, mm-hmm. and being his Torah-cal is basically helping me to represent him in the way that his name is worthy of.
Right.
That's really what it's telling us. Mm-hmm. Represent his name. Mm-hmm. Don't take his name. The way I always think of it is, if I'm getting married and I'm taking a man's last name, mm-hmm. well, I don't want to profane that name.
Right.
I don't want to be a blight on that family, mm-hmm. because I've taken that name.
That's really good analogy. Yeah. That's good.
And so that's why I want to, you know, that's what I want to try to do, is be historical and not hysterical, because when I'm hysterical, it's because I'm viewing my present and reacting in the present to a present, right. circumstance, instead of being historical in the other sense, being historical and looking back at the monuments and the wells that he has put in the places in my life, the places where he met me, the places where he carried out the things that maybe I didn't expect. Mm-hmm. And I can almost guarantee you I didn't feel like I deserved, but it was a monument. It was a well. It was a place where he met me and he said, remember this. Mm-hmm. Be historical. Yes. Remember what I've done here. Right. Because being hysterical in your present right now isn't going to help you. But if you remember the things that I did, you're going to be able to bring that, mm-hmm. that faith, that belief forward into, I can meet you here too.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you bring up two great points. So number one, when you were talking, I thought of we take the name of the Lord. We make a vow to our spouses, right? And it's taking that vow in vain. We don't, even in Hebrews, it talks about when God made an oath, when he made a vow, he made it unto himself. He like used his own name because there was no one higher. So when we make a vow, by God, I will never, you know, that's kind of an old saying that you might hear people say, we're taking a vow. We're saying something. We're using God's name to make that vow. So we don't take it in vain. We don't use his name in vain and then not keep that vow of marriage, that vow to God. Like, we'll never do this again. If you only get me out of it this time, I will never, you know, we're making promises and vows. And I think we have to recognize that we need to be serious about those things.
I think that that's exactly, I mean, that's exactly what it is about, is, mm-hmm. is being serious, choosing better character, choosing to walk and be the best version of yourself that you can be with his help.
Yes.
Because we, like you said, we can't do it on our own. We're not going to perfect ourselves. Mm-mm. It's only him in us working through us and us allowing that to penetrate and permeate so that it leaks out to others.
Yeah. And it's, I like, remember the second one. So you said about being hysterical. And I remember talking to someone and saying, we need to learn how to respond, not react. And she goes, I don't understand the difference. And I said, you react instantly. You just react. You react in anger. You react in joy, even, you know, we can just react. And of course, reacting in joy is not a bad thing, but reacting in anger, reacting in disappointment, reacting in something
harshness,
else,
critical.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have to be careful that we don't react, because when we react, there's usually a trigger there that has made us react, flip off the deep end, you know, just like go off the deep end on somebody. And God wants us to learn to respond.
Yes.
And with response, with a godly response, there's thinking through something, how we're going to answer this person, how we're going to come across. And so it's basically, okay, I know this is a trigger for myself. Now I need to get past the trigger. Don't say anything till I'm past and I can kind of even think it through, instead of reacting. And I think that's, you know, kind of like, even with when we talk about the tablets of stone and tablets of human hearts, and then you go back to Ezekiel and he's like, I'm taking away your heart of stone and giving you a heart of flesh. He wants us to feel things. He wants our heart to be sensitive to things, but he doesn't want us just to react. He wants us to think about it and respond appropriately in the appropriate time, because sometimes we need to just be silent to avoid coming across incorrectly or
right.
ungodly, really.
Yes. Jesus was silent.
Yeah.
There
Jesus
was a time.
React to everything. He could have reacted to everything, but he responded to things.
He did. What an example, right?
Mm-hmm. So I thought that was good, because when you mention hysterical, how many of us can get hysterical?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and there was one other thing, because then you said, this is good. These are all good. But you talked about historical, remembering. Well, what is the number one phrase in the Bible is to remember.
Yes.
Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You know, he gives us remember this. Remember yes. this. He put the clothing of the high priest was to remember. So God remembered the tribes. He remembered the names that were on their shoulders, the six on one shoulder, six on the other. Everything was so he and they themselves could remember. All the feasts are to remember. So that word, yeah, going back with historical is, yeah.
Well, and he told the Israelites, remember what I did to Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. It was that.
Remember
it's that
how
same...
I took you through the sea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when, oh. and isn't that true though? Because it keeps us from being hysterical when we remember that God was faithful.
Yes.
In other situations. And not that he's not faithful right now in this tough situation, but it's just tough. And
yeah.
we get, our minds get clouded, our hearts get confused. But going back to what we know and remember puts us then in a position to now accept and trust God in a hard situation again. So,
you know,
yeah, so that was good, the historical.
What you saying that just reminded me of, you know, I've walked through some tough things the last 2 or 3 years, and I've struggled a lot. And it's one of the reasons why I moved when I did. And it's the thing that kept me even not just remembering the things that he did for me in my past, that he's done in the last 2 or 3 years, that was kind of like just a little wink of, see, I still got you, that have helped me to continue to make those steps forward and to grow and to be who it is that he's asking me to be.
Yes.
Because I can't do it on my own.
Yep, that's so true. None of us can.
No.
No. I mean, left to my own devices, I would...
We're a mess, aren't we?
Tank. Yeah. I would tank very quickly. So, you know, think about it. It's like, just, I don't want to get on a whole new subject, but, you know, even sowing and reaping. I mean, I learned something when I was studying Hebrews again, that, you know, there's in the Torah, it was all about obedience. Which isn't a bad thing, because he still asks us to be obedient. But there are unconditional love that's now involved in the renewed covenant. And I'll say it that way. But the, what we might think of as the old covenant is still covenant. It's covenants don't go away. And that's what actually, you know, when we don't understand covenants, we think that we can just give and take them, you know, back and forth, and it doesn't matter. But really having a true understanding of covenants, you know that one never passes away. But I thought about how when he renewed the covenant, it was like an unconditional love that he had given Abraham. And because he had given him unconditional favor. I mean, he chose him to be the father of a nation, and actually the father of all nations. Right. And so it's very interesting, because that unconditional love keeps us from the curses of all of the first covenant, the Mosaic covenant. But now we have sowing and reaping. That never changes. We still have to reap what we sow. That never goes away. And we want to really just blame God, because we're reaping what we sow, instead of like, instead of looking inward and realizing, no, I sowed those seeds. I have to reap them. God doesn't take that away. God doesn't change that law of sowing and reaping, because that is put in motion from Adam and Eve. It's boom. It's been happening ever since then. So, and that's not just obedience, that's not just disobedience or obedience, that's just plain and simple, you reap what you sow.
Right. Well, I think of the thing that came to my mind while you were saying that was when I finally figured out I struggled with my son's father, and we ended up divorced. And I was angry about that because that is not what I wanted. I did not want a divorce on my record, you know? And I was very frustrated with it. And I remember saying to somebody, I was like, well, why would God allow me to marry him if he knew it was going to just turn out like this? And she said to me, well, do you think it was love or do you think it was trauma? And I was like, picking the familiar. What, you know, I made that choice. I chose what was familiar to me that was unhealthy, but I chose what was familiar to me because it was all I knew. And I was very young in the Lord. And I feel like he had tried to begin this healing process of all of those things in my life, but it just so happened that I met this man and it all kind of, I wouldn't trade for anything because I have my son. But at the same time, it was also a poor choice on my part in the end, because I was choosing the familiar and didn't look at all the things that I should have recognized as, this isn't a healthy situation. This isn't a healthy person. This isn't the person they claim that they are. So,
and it's the same thing when you think about, I mean, and I totally get that because we need healing in our lives. And, you know, when we marry, we're basically, you know, we're putting two broken people together. Now work out your problems.
Exactly.
Well, when I grew up, confrontation was a bad word. It was just a bad word. My mom dreaded any form of confrontation, and that's how she brought me up. I marry a man who's all about confrontation, so you can imagine now the problems that we had in, well, you're just trying to hurt my feelings. Well, no, actually, I'm just confronting you that maybe you need to make a better decision here, that this wasn't the best thing to do, but because of my outlook on it from my parents, well, we're fighting. I don't want to fight. We're just fighting. He goes, we're not fighting. We're having a discussion. But I couldn't get over the fact, to me, that it was just a fight. And it was right. Like,
it feels, you know, like fighting.
Yeah. And so it took a while. And so now he'll say, look at you. You've become more confronting. But it's never, never easy, because I still want to go back to those ideas that were ingrained in me in my childhood, that confrontation is bad. And I think it's the same thing. You know, when we look at this verse that you started, you yourselves are a letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, from Yeshua. We have to let him rewrite us, rewire us, rewrite on us, that you are not that person who can't confront somebody. Jesus confronted people. That's my story. Take it whatever your story is. Did Jesus do it? You know, did Jesus, was he able to do something in a very healthy way that you find terrifying? And I found that terrifying to confront. And I think that when we let him rewrite our pages, rewrite our hearts, then that's when we become different people.
Yes.
Better.
Yes.
Better, godly, more godly people.
Yes. When we allow him to write on our heart, right? Not on tablets of stone.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good verse. Good verses.
What an amazing, yeah.
Anything you want to add before we end for today?
I don't think so. I feel like we covered and addressed the most that we could.
But yeah, well, thank you. This was great. I love talking about scripture, and I think you picked a couple of really good verses to talk about. So
thank you.
I
appreciate the
conversation about those things. So thank you. And again, everyone listening, you can go to YouTube. You can find some of her teachings on the Rooted Cafe with a K. And I don't think you can actually include your name in that, but I think if they look for Misty Harbor and then some things from the Rooted Cafe will come up.
Yes.
So, and again, if you want to join us on the Facebook page, The Bridge, or just Bridge, then you will find us the second Friday of every month talking about the Torah.
Yes.
Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, please leave a review, share, and subscribe. You can find me on YouTube and my Facebook group, Discovering Our Hebrew Roots. Thank you for listening. See you next week.